We are to be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Happy Easter to you. I am Mark Houck, your host here at Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown, in the studios live today on this first Friday of Easter, in the octave of Easter, right? We're in the octave, right? And we're also at 1420 in Coatesville, Chester County. So if you're listening in those areas, hello to you. Welcome to the program. It's a program about authentic masculinity, and I am blessed to be the founder and president of the King's Men Incorporated, a lay apostolate that started here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia back in 2004. And we've been working full-time in men's ministry for the last 15, 16 years now. And what a blessing it is for me to be on these airwaves to share some insights that I've gleaned over the years through the work that I do and the work of others to bring to you as you drive along or as you listen wherever you are. Thoughts on manhood, thoughts on fatherhood, and thoughts on our journey as Catholic Christians. So there's a wider application to this program. Sometimes we depart into areas that are specific to men, but today's going to be more of a generic program. I'm going to reflect on some of my struggles in the last couple days that I'd like to share with you and see if it can't challenge you, our listening audience, perhaps in a new way. And go deeper into this Easter season, as we just left Lent, and we're in resurrection time. We are in the feast time. We still struggle, right? We still have issues, and just because we're in the Easter season, doesn't necessarily mean we're without our sacrifices that we need to make on a daily basis. That we've abandoned those practices, we need to maintain them. So let's start in the spirit of prayer as we bless our time together. We pray St. Augustine's Prayer to the Holy Spirit, which is a prayer that I've often prayed here at this radio program. And it's a beautiful prayer, obviously a very old prayer. St. Augustine of Hippo wrote it. And it's invoking the Holy Spirit. Here we are at Holy Spirit Radio. We are calling on the Holy Spirit to descend upon us, to be with us, to pour out all the graces upon us in this next hour. And this is the patron of the King's Men Apostolate, so we call on his intercession as well. Augustine says, "Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy." Amen. We ask, of course, St. Augustine to pray for us, St. Joseph, the patron of fathers, the universal church, head of the Holy Family, to pray for us. All right, so today I want to dive into two specific areas. I want to talk about the presence of evil in our lives. I want to talk about demonic influences through the lens of St. Alphonsus Liguori, Doctor of the Church, as he articulated for the church the areas where the demons, the fallen angels, really manifest themselves and spend most of their time in our lives. Demonic oppression, obsession, and possession. These are things that St. Alphonsus Liguori really illuminated for us in the church. And I'd just like to shed a little bit of light on them in light of something that I have been struggling with the last couple of days, which I want to share with you now. And I challenge you, dear listeners, to think of how this might be a challenge to you. And it has to do with our attachment to our cell phones. I have to confess that I am attached to my cell phone. I never leave home without it, as the old American Express card commercial would say. But I found myself yesterday, unable to locate my cell phone. And a combination of a busy day and some action items that needed to get done and still do, planning for days to come, I found myself completely stressed about not being able to access my cell phone. And it was probably for about, I'd say, a good 4 or 5 hours whereby this cell phone was lost. There was a 4-hour window there whereby I couldn't find it and needed to get a hold of it and started to put me in a bit of a crisis. I've never been attached to my cell phone. I was one of the very last people in my family to ever get a cell phone. In fact, I've only had a smartphone the last few years. I would say probably since 2013, maybe 14 is when I finally got with the times, I should say. I used to have a flip phone, but I've only really had a smartphone for the last 5 years. I do a lot of work on my phone as I travel a lot, as many of you, our dear listeners, do as well. I find myself trying to detach from it, not take it with me into restaurants or certainly leave it in the car during church and really on holy days, on Sunday, to really try and be intentional about detaching from it. I often challenge many of our men in our outreach throughout the country and the world to really reflect on how much they are attached to their cell phones. And I challenge our brothers in those audiences to give it up one day a week. And I challenge you, dear listeners, to try and give up your phone one day a week. Just remember what life was like before this technology came into our lives. Did it suffer any as a result of it not being there? Were you able to accomplish the same things? Reflect on those things and reflect on what your life was like, if you can remember, what life was like before a cell phone. I have to confess that I am addicted might be a strong word. I'm attached. I'm attached to my cell phone, whereby recognizing that I went into a crisis yesterday because I could not find my phone. And that is something that I want to talk about today because, look, we're trying to grow in holiness. And St. Therese says that detachment, St. Therese of Lisieux, little flower, says that detachment is a great sign of holiness. Well, it was a real measuring stick for me. Combination of a lot of things, but my attitude changed, my disposition changed, I was less patient, I was more stressed, and this was all induced by the loss of the cell phone. This is not good. This is not healthy. The fact that our disposition, our kindnesses decrease or are lost completely as a result of this type of stress coming into our life, which is totally my choice, totally a willful act, so it's sin on my part, fully acknowledge, understand the gravity of it, that my lack of love for others suffered because I could not find my cell phone. So I'm bringing that to the airways today for some discussion, and I'm going to throw out the numbers today. I'm curious whether I'm the only one. Maybe I'm the only one who's willing to talk about it, but I want to ask you a question, dear listener. Are you attached to your cell phone? And what I mean by that, I don't mean is it on your person at all times. That's the physical attachment, you know, where we carry it. But is it something whereby if you lost it or you had to do without it for a day, would it put you in crisis? Would it put you out of sorts? Would you, like me, lose your peace? That's exactly what happened to me. And there were a lot of other variables at play, but nonetheless, the trigger was there. And I've blogged about this, and I said, and I believe it, that the cell phone is the primary tool of the devil today. I'm going to give out the numbers to see if you agree with that statement, you reject that statement. Now, I'm not saying the cell phone is intrinsically evil. Let's just qualify what I just said. It's not intrinsically evil. It is a tool, like anything else. It's a tool, can be used for great good, There's a lot of wonderful holy things. You can read the Bible on your cell phone. You can pray the Liturgy of the Hours on your cell phone. You can remind yourself to pray and divine mercy. And all I understand all the joys and benefits of it, right, in a good way. I'm not saying it's evil in and of itself. I'm saying it's a tool that the devil uses today for great evil. And he can manipulate and coerce and confuse and accuse and all those things, which St. Alphonsus Liguori talks about, to bring about addiction, vice, attachment away from God, to draw us away from God. And I'm telling you, yesterday, I was drawn away from God. I can admit it. I confess it. I will confess it in sacramental confession. And I will acknowledge that this is unhealthy, that this was unholy, and that it's a vice. And so I'm putting it out to you today. Do you believe that the cell phone is a tool of the devil, his primary weapon in our day and age? It's my position that it is. So I'm going to give out the numbers, 215-345-1570. If you'd like to call into the program today, give me your opinion. You totally can, and you can keep it anonymous. You don't have to say your name. Or you can leave that information, or you can come on live on the airways and give me your humble opinion. You could say, no, I don't believe it is. And, you know, this is a personal problem for you. It's not a problem for me. Let's look at it objectively, not subjectively. Let's look at it objectively. I'm here today to tell you that this is the primary tool that people access pornography, the cell phone. This is the primary way which people today are falling into the vice an addiction of lust. Okay, that is a fact. Undeniable. I believe in my observance and my own personal surveys and from what I've heard and from studies and so forth, that the cell phone is a tool by which to objectify and abuse others through Snapchat, that young people today are harassing, abusing, sexually harassing one another, sending impure imagery, that is a great evil, and that's being done, and it's confessed and heard over and over again that our young people are doing this. Cell phones have been used to bully. Cell phones have been used to send messages while you're driving, which has caused many, many accidents. I can confess that I got into a fender bender because of my cell phone. I'm willing to admit that. Yeah, guilty as charged. The texting is really dangerous. Forget evil right now. It's extremely radical, dangerous behavior. And I drive and I watch and I see probably every other car, people on their cell phones. One out of two cars, I see people texting and driving. As I'm stopped or I'm cruising along in my big van, and I look down, I can see into people's cars. I see the phone in their hand, and they're looking up. You know the routine. They're looking up every, like, second and a half at the road, looking down, looking up, looking down, looking up. This is extremely dangerous. We're not saying it's evil, but it could cause evil. The death of someone, a premature death. I mean, that is a privation. Let's say somebody dies and a young life is taken. A father's taken away from a home. A mother's taken away from a home. Children, premature death. I mean, evil came into the world through the choice of our first father, Adam, right? Sin of Adam. And evil came into the world by that choice to love self, to choose self, right? The choice to drive and to choose self versus others, which is other people on the road, other people with families, other people with lives, and the choice to love self over that. I think that's when you extract it from that, then it becomes an evil. You see, it becomes the evil of sin, right? The evil of pride, that this is more important than your safety. Let's call it what it is, friends. This is the presence of evil, sometimes in our own very car, that the evil one can use. Do you see? And this brings in Alphonsus Liguori, Obsession, Oppression, and Possession. Is your cell phone possessing you, or are you possessing your cell phone? That's a whole other topic. But those numbers again, 215-345-1570. I'm curious, am I alone here? Am I the only one whose holiness is suffering by virtue of this device? I confess that it is. I saw that, and I can plainly say that yesterday I mistreated my own family members. I was short, curt, and impatient because of this crisis, which was induced by 4 hours of not being able to locate, even with the technology to locate it, my cell phone. I was talking to myself. I was like an animal with it, you know, and I just said, this is really toxic. So I want to just throw it out as a challenge. Is your cell phone causing you problems? And are you even aware of it? Now, Alphonsus Liguori would talk about oppression this way. He would say that oppression is the way the fallen angels, the demons, right? Remember, a third of the angels fell at the beginning of time. This is before Adam and Eve, right? That the third of the angels fell out of grace and the presence of God because they would not serve, right? They wanted to serve themselves. And so when we say that there's influences in this earth, on this earth, that are supernatural, powers and principalities, as St. Paul would say, that we are contending with, the evil one, through with his minions and his demons, has one goal and one goal in mind only, which is to take us away from God, to take us away from our path towards heaven, and he wants us to bring us to hell, where he is and where all these fallen angels are, where we worship ourselves. And what he does, and this is what St. Alphonsus Liguori talked about, is he will oppress the church militant. He will oppress us in our thoughts, in our actions. He will oppress us in ways like the natural law will allow, right? He can only work within the natural law. Even though he's got supernatural powers, he has to conform to the natural law of things. And he cannot really step out of those areas. So he will oppress us through his demons by losing our car keys, for instance, losing your cell phone, losing your wallet. Like, and he'll use that instance to oppress us, to distract us, to accuse us, to denounce who we are. He'll use it to cause you to lose your peace. He'll oppress you in ways that are related to your car not starting, different things like that have been known. The demons can influence in some ways and wreak havoc on us and really disturb each one of our peace, each our peace individually. And that's something that you need to recognize, that this is out there, that there are powers and principalities that can kind of mess with the natural order. They can kind of mess with things. They can't disrupt it in the way like, you know, cause earthquakes or stuff like that. But they have power to kind of, you know, just kind of annoy us. That's really what oppression is. These little annoyances and nuisances and distractions, like losing your keys or misplacing your keys or losing your wallet or phone or something like that, to really frustrate you. When we come back after this break, we're going to talk about a little bit more about oppression, how it influences us. We'll get into obsession. We'll talk minorly about possession. But this is the spiritual warfare that we are under attack every day. And the devil will use a tool like the cell phone to draw us away from the heart of God, to keep us from becoming like God. If this is something that you struggle with, I want to hear from you. We'll put out the numbers, 215-345-1570. I want to hear, is this happening to you? Am I the only one in this community that deals with this? Give us a call. We'll be right back after this first break, short break, and we'll talk more about these challenges. Stay tuned.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims. From its modest beginnings in 1930 as Summer Brothers Plumbing and Heating in Gap, PA, to its merger with Zims Sales and Service in 1973, Summers and Zims has grown to be the recognized leader in the design, installation, and service of mechanical systems for industrial and residential needs. They can be contacted at 610-593-5129, or you can visit their website at sumzim.com.
This could be you. You could stop the 61 million abortions that happen every year. You could be the one that ends the law of legal abortions, Roe versus Wade. You could be the voice that changed the hearts of many. I'm Katie Schreiner of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, and this is Pro-Life Notes. As generations grow, one number at a time, there are physicians preventing future school teachers, lawyers, doctors, scientists, news anchors, and accountants from entering the world. Most young people believe in the pro-life movement. Abortions were the number one cause of death in 2018. Many young people are tired of unborn babies not being able to do the things that they can do. For more information on how to get involved, you can visit our website at www.paprolife.org. Be the reason that the voiceless can someday have a voice. And remember, there's always a reason to choose life.
Church law is so much more than a list of do nots. It's a positive affirmation of the rights of the laity. There'll be a talk on this on Tuesday, May 14th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at St. Maria Goretti Parish, 1601 Durstein Road in Hatfield. Speaker Adam Dickerson will explore what these rights are and how they serve the mission of the church. There'll also be a question and answer period following the presentation. To register for this event, please call 215-721-0199.
All right, we're back, and we're just diving into some issues that I think well, as we examine our consciences, that this is a common area of struggle for a lot of people. Look, I'm a person who observes people. I watch, I see how much our phones are keeping us from our families. You go into a restaurant, sit in the lobby, and just go in as an experiment, a sociological experiment. Don't even go in for a meal. Just go into, like, say, Olive Garden or Outback Steakhouse, right? Go in and sit in the waiting area and watch how many people count. And within 15 minutes, how many people come in, sit down, take out their cell phone. And I mean, these are people who are in a group that were there with a family, father, son, daughter, mother, sister. They sit down and they all take out their phones. No one talks to anybody. No one communicates anything. They just sit down and they're on their phone. It's as if we cannot be alone. We don't understand original solitude anymore. The joy of the lack of distraction. There's no joy in that. The solitude, the silence, the classroom of silence where the voice of God, the whisper, as Elijah experienced, the voice of God coming in the form of a whispering sound cannot be heard because we can't handle the silence. We need to be constantly doing something. And I submit to you today that 2 days ago I succumbed to that. I allowed my need to use my phone, to have it within reach, to know where it is, to really disturb my peace. And I'm asking you to be honest, call in anonymously and say if that's the case for you. You know, sometimes the path towards virtue and growth begins by admitting that you have a problem. So I'm admitting it. I'm admitting that the cell phone is a problem for me and I need to do better. And frankly, I didn't think it was a major issue, but when I lose my peace and I mistreat people or I'm kind of unkind to my children or short with my wife because I can't find my phone, that's wrong. That's evil. That's the devil. And that's demonic oppression. That's exactly how demonic oppression works. And this is why the devil uses it. He uses the things that we have, the choices that we've made, to distract us, to confuse us, to disorient us, and to accuse us, and to make us fall deeper in love with self. The great danger with cell phone usage, especially with young people, is it teaches young people instant gratification as a good. We've had the fast food culture. We've had McDonald's for many, many years. Burger King, Chick-fil-A, all. And Chick-fil-A is a great organization. However, it's fast food, right? This has now become fast success. Instant gratification. I don't want to climb the corporate ladder anymore. I want to start my own business and become a millionaire sooner than later. I want to be, and this, you see this with YouTube, you see this with YouTubers and people who basically made a living out of like themselves and promoting themselves or promoting products because they promote themselves. Look, I'm not here to judge that. I'm just saying that cell phone usage, especially with youth, teaches them not to delay gratification. And this is how we acquire virtue. This is temperance. This is the cardinal virtue of temperance. To put off, to delay, to temper ourselves, to delay gratification, to grow in virtue, knowing that there's a greater good, to be chaste prior to getting married, right? To delay that gratification because it brings forth a great good when we do that, which is a holy and virtuous and a marriage that has self-mastery in it. If you teach yourself no self-mastery because you're constantly stimulating yourself through instant gratification, the phones, I submit, fathers, mothers, please keep them out of the hands of your children. Delay that influence for as long as you possibly can. I know it's hard. We're on it ourselves. We're modeling the worst behavior. The old hypocrite would say, don't do what I'm doing, right? Don't smoke, kid, and yet you're puffing away. That's the hypocrite. Don't do what I'm doing, all right? No, model it. Show them self-mastery. The devil and his demons want to give you instant gratification. And they want to tell you that it's a great good. Look how appealing this is. Look how much more you can get done while you're driving, while you're eating. The family meal, the last supper the last meal that Jesus had with the apostles before his passion began. There was no cell phones. There was just presence. 12 men in the presence of the true presence, the presence of God here on earth, the God-man. No cell phones, no distractions, conversation, listening, presence. We just heard today at Mass, if you went to Mass, about the last breakfast Jesus had with his disciples, his apostles. And that was after his resurrection. So when you go into a restaurant, don't sit in the lobby. Next time you're there to eat, observe people sitting across from one another and who's on their cell phone. I was in Covina, California, preparing for the Masculine Genius Institute last year with Dr. Philip Chavez. We've had on this radio program many times. And I observed at a Denny's, a mother and a son. The son had, I don't know whether it was his phone or it was some sort of iPad, but he had earbuds in, connected to his phone or this iPad. And his mom was sitting right across from him, and she was just kind of staring at him or just staring at somebody else or something. Probably longing to have a conversation with her son, who's completely checked out, completely in his own world, And the mom was completely fine with it. She was totally fine with it. They were both living separate lives. We are made for community, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. And I submit that cell phone takes us away from family, takes us away from community, takes us away from authentic brotherhood, sisterhood. This is my position. This is what I'm putting out to you today. Do you agree with this? If you don't, call in and tell me why you don't. If your case is that cell phones bring families together, look, I get FaceTime, I get all that, you can communicate, that's beautiful. But if your argument is that cell phones are contributing more to family life, or is it taking less away from family, I want to hear. I want to hear, no, it's not taking away from family because of FaceTime, because of all this. I understand that. That's a great gift. That's a wonderful thing. But can you argue the case that cell phones bring more good than evil? I'm going to argue the case that more evil comes. There's great good. It's not intrinsically evil, but there's great good. I'm going to argue that there's greater evil, greater bad things, more bad things. I'm such a good English master of the English language. There are worse things coming through the cell phone than good things, than positive things. That's my position. Do you agree? 215-345-1570. If you don't agree, defend your position. Tell me why. I'm open to hearing that. I want you to make the case because I want to make myself feel better about my choices. You'll make me feel better. I'm here to declare today that I'm addicted to my phone, and that's a bad thing, and it's disturbing my peace, and it's affecting my life and my journey as a man. I'm going to admit it. I'm going on the record today. I need help with that. I think we're going to eventually have support programs to help people. And I think young people today are going to experience something. And I posited this before at some of our healing retreat, that the verbal abuse that young people receive from their parents from a generation or two ago was pretty harsh. You know, parents could have been really harsh and strict and not spare the rod. I think today, parents aren't harsh. They're just not even saying anything to their kids because they're on their phones. And guess what? Kids aren't even hearing anything they have to say anyway because they're on their phones. I think eventually we're going to have a disorder that's going to be diagnosed probably by a Christian organization, not the American Psychological Association. But we're going to have something diagnosed whereby kids are going to be traumatized by the nonverbal abuse, the nonverbals that they didn't receive, the glances, the attention, the focus, the presence. The devil plays on this with his demons, with his fallen angels, uses this to distract us, to oppress us, to take us away from God. This is the first wave, the first level of demonic influence that St. Alphonsus Liguori talked about. The second way is something called obsession. Obsession. And that's kind of where I kind of dovetailed into with my attachment. I became completely obsessed over finding my phone, so much so that it was to the detriment of others. The demon attaches itself to you. That's the obsession part. The demon, you're not possessed yet, okay? That's where the demon is dwelling with inside you. Now, the demon just kind of is watching you. Alphonsus Liguori would talk about it in this way. He's watching you. The demons are watching you. Where can I attach myself, fixate myself onto this person in this specific area? It could be lust. It could be the demon of lust that it's just... Now, all of a sudden, this is the area they're really going to focus. They're watching. Where is he weak? Where's Mark weak? Mark is weak in this area of his need to receive affirmation, and he gets it through his phone. I'm just speaking abstractly here, but he gets it through his phone, and so I'm going to attach myself in this area, and I'm going to distract him, and I'm going to obsess on this spot. As a demon, I'm going to obsess on this spot, and I'm going to help Mark obsess on this spot. And I'm going to attach him, I'm going to attach to this area in his life to really draw him away from God. So in other words, oppression is these nuisances and annoyances that happen, different ones that distract us, disturb our peace. Now, it becomes a specific area. Could be lust, could be pride, could be vanity, could be sensuality, could be, you know, something that the demon sees as your greatest weakness. And the demon goes after it. It's like he just keeps drilling away at that one area. That becomes obsession. In other words, you're obsessed about this specific area, and so's the demon, you see. This is extremely toxic. And this is where I think cell phones can bridge into this area. It did for me 2 days ago. And you know what? I got to commit. I got to resolve. And I have to repent. And I have to build virtue in this area. And this is how we combat vice. We counter the virtue. We counter the vice with virtue. We don't counter the virtue. We counter the vice with a virtue. And so for someone like me who is struggling with temperance, you know, that's the virtue, right? The virtue of temperance, to handle created goods in an ordered manner. You see, the cell phone was not being handled in an ordered manner. It dovetailed into obsession and completely distracted me, destroyed my peace. You see, I need to pray for the virtue of temperance, to take created goods, foods, material things, and ask for the cardinal virtue of temperance to counter that misuse, abuse of these things, the addictions that they become for us. Pray for temperance. You need to pray for the virtue to be acquired. And you need to put it in practice, and you need to begin to put in place practices whereby you choose to say no. No becomes a love word. No, I'm not going to. I was just doing with Frank here in the studio. Frank's talking to me. I'm literally on my phone. I'm replying. Because you know what? It was more important for me to send than to give Frank my full attention. Although I heard him, I was like half tuned in. Frank's smiling. But I think we do this. We're half tuned in to the world, and we're more tuned in to the technology. And it becomes very hard to be in community. It becomes very hard to be authentic witness to who Jesus Christ is. You know, what would Jesus say if he was here in your presence and he sat here before you and you had your cell phone in your hand? Would you put it down just to look at Jesus? I sure hope you would. I hope you'd be prostrate on the floor. But maybe you might say, hang on 1 second, Jesus, I'll be with you in a minute. I don't know. Friends, I'm scared to think of that, you know, because these things which are not intrinsically evil have taken us away from the heart of God, to the mind of God. Are you going to have a cell phone in heaven? God, I hope not. Are we going to be tuned in, right? We're going to be tuned in fully to who the Lord is. And we will be fully aware of who he is, his presence, and the love that he has for us and our love for him. And we will be free from this wretched man and woman that we are, the distractions of this life. But we need to work it out here. We need to learn to master ourselves. And we need to enter that school of self-mastery. And that's called the school of virtue, a firm and habitual disposition to do the good. We were talking about obsession and the tools of the devil and the demons. Obsession is that second wave. It's a deeper wave. The demons are observing you. Where are you weak? Maybe this is something you can relate to. We come back, we'll talk a little bit about possession. That's very rare. But that's where the devil takes over completely the person. And of course, we see that with Jesus and the demoniac and the many of the demons in Jesus' time where he took authority over them and exercised those demons. We'll talk about that briefly. But I want to talk about, are you struggling with this? Now, the phones are silent because I don't think you want to admit it, frankly, because I don't want to admit it. 215-345-1570. We'll be right back after the second break. We'll talk more about my struggles with the cell phone and how what we can do to fight that. Where is the silver lining? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Regina Celle Academy is a classical hybrid education model in the Catholic tradition. Families meet 2 days a week at Regina Celle Learning Center, where tutors support parents as the primary educators of their children in providing a rich Socratic classroom dynamic that would complement and enhance your homeschool experience. Learn more about this exciting opportunity and be part of bringing a Regina Celle Academy to Lancaster County. To find out more, visit rcahybrid.org.
What paths lead to suicide? On Monday, May 6th, 2019, the Peace and Justice Ministry of Our Lady of Mount Carmel Church welcomes Wendy Flanagan, a representative from the Bucks County Office of Mental Health and Developmental Programs and chair of the Bucks County Suicide Prevention Task Force. Ms. Flanagan will talk about the myths surrounding suicide and then move on to a discussion of the kinds of symptoms that might signal a mental health problem that could lead to suicide. After the presentation, Ms. Flanagan will take questions from the audience, welcoming all to a safe space for the kind of discussion that can begin to demystify the painful subject of suicide. So please join us at 7 p.m. at St. Mary's Hall on Maple Avenue in Doylestown, across from Mount Carmel Church, located at 235 East State Street. Refreshments will be served. For further information, please contact Fran Laurier at 215-489-4039.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
All right, welcome back. We're talking about struggles with cell phone confession and demonic influence. This is not an easy program to talk about today because guilty party of one sitting in the studio. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to examine our consciences and see where we are falling short. And I submit, it is my position, that the greatest tool of the devil today is the cell phone. It is not, again, for any miscommunication, qualifying statement, it is not intrinsically evil. The cell phone is not intrinsically evil. However, I believe it is the primary tool of evil today. That's my position. I think when we talk about the modern family, the domestic church, and this is where these seeds are sown, right? We are trying to raise up children in a godly way, yet we are putting time bombs in their hand, set to go off in vice. It goes off and manifests itself when it explodes in vice, addiction. We just heard on the break, suicide, right? I know of stories of people who've been bullied through cell phone, through Facebook, and all this stuff is accessed through the phone, right? Through Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff, that people have committed suicide over the bullying, the cyberbullying. That's being done on phones today, and it's being done with young people. And so this brings us to the third wave of demonic influence, which is possession, which is very rare. It needs to be said. It's very rare for someone to be completely possessed. The person has to really access this intentionally, right? Although Ouija boards and stuff like that can bring it to a person unintentionally. We see that with the movie Exorcism. That's based on a true story of where a child did become possessed with the demon. A demon possessed the child through a Ouija board. So we got to be very careful with the things that we're messing with, whether it's yoga, the New Age, that we might be inviting something very demonic into our life, unbeknownst to us. However, there are a lot of people who are, it is beknownst, that know that it's evil and call upon it and want it for great power, strength, and wealth. And these people have a great potential, let's say that word, of becoming possessed. When you call upon evil to dwell within you, to give you power, to give you strength, to give you talent, to give you wealth and money, possession could be the result. Now, it's very rare in the church, and we have exorcists in every diocese that are there to deal with it. So we don't need to spend much time on it because it is so rare. However, not so rare that it doesn't happen many times in sacred scripture. Like, it's rare, but yet it happens. So how many times did Jesus exorcise the demons? And what did the apostles say to Jesus when they couldn't exorcise the demons, the disciples? Jesus, some demons we could not exorcise, we could not cast out. He said, these demons are only casted out through prayer and fasting. So if you find yourself in the obsession area of life, the lack of self-mastery, addiction, you must fast. So on the airwaves today, I'm going on the record that I am going to fast from cell phone usage outside of incoming calls. I'm going on record. I'm going to report back on this. Outside of incoming calls, I'm going to fast, not on Sunday. I'm going to fast Saturday and Sunday from texting and surfing. Surfing, just randomly surfing, searching stuff I shouldn't be searching. Random stuff. Okay? I'm not saying I'm not going to take calls. I'm saying I'm going to respond to people who need to get a hold of me, because that could be an uncharity there if somebody's counting on something or needs something. But I'm not going to initiate any texting. I will respond accordingly where it makes sense, not for nonsense. I'm going to fast. And I'm going on the record just to hold myself accountable. This isn't to impress you. I'm telling you I have a problem. And Jesus says some demons are only casted out through prayer and fasting. Well, I am going to fast, which is voluntary self-denial, from my cell phone on Saturday and Sunday. So the parameters are, I will not initiate texting. I will not surf randomly just for idleness, just for distraction purposes only. I will respond to inquiries that come in that need to be responded to. And that's through those alerts that come on your phone. And I refuse to text and look at my phone while I'm driving. This is a problem. I do that. Now, this is on Saturday and Sunday, right? Sometimes, like, people need to get a hold of you, and that's my work week and stuff like that. So, you know, pull over, be safe, and stuff like that. I'm going to just start simply. And I invite you, dear listener, to consider one day, maybe Sunday, day of rest. I have to do it because I've tried to do Sunday, and it's not enough. I need to do more. I need to fast more. I need to enter the school of self-mastery more. And I'm offering that to you today, dear listeners, for inspiration, but also for accountability. And I will report back to you how well I'm doing, and I have 2 weeks to do that. So we'll have a good assessment of that. It's hurting my family. It's hurting my holiness, and I don't like it. I remember what life was like before cell phones. And you know what? I have more peace. I'm sorry. I have more peace. Maybe we can start a movement of people who turn off their cell phones for a weekend. Maybe that becomes a movement. Yeah, right. You guys are listening. You're like, that'll never happen. You're crazy. Yeah, crazy for Christ. Crazy for Christ. We have to take radical action. This is why Jesus says, if your right hand is causing you to sin, cut it off. I think it's Matthew 5. Cut it off. This doesn't mean cut your literal hand off. It means take radical action. If your eyes are causing you to sin, pluck it out. Pluck your eye out. Take radical action. It's time to take these messages of Christ seriously and to recognize that they are for us today and in our time, and not just for people 2,000 years ago, but oh, for us today, to help us, to teach us, to instruct us, to guide us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I put out a phone number to call in to let me know if this is true for you or you can relate or you want to refute it. I'm going to assume by the lack of calls that you can't refute it. But I'm also going to assume that I've convicted you, dear listener, because you didn't call. Now, let's be honest. We're a small radio apostle. We probably don't get a lot of calls. So maybe you're afraid to call. I get it. But I'm going to take that high road and say, we've convicted a few hearts today. We've convicted a few hearts. I'm guilty as charged. We need to do better. We have the sacramental grace to do better. We have all the graces we need to make a better choice. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we're talking about the ways the demons, the fallen angels, influence our world. The powers and principalities are using today the cell phone to hurt families, to hurt children, to hurt marriages, to destroy lives. Yes. If there was a way to quantify this, I think the numbers would be staggering. However, there's great good that can be done on the cell phone. You think of Heroic Media, who appeals to women who are abortion-minded through cell phone ads and Facebook ads and ads. There is great good. FaceTime when loved ones are away serving overseas or away from their family on long road trips and travel. They can connect and see faces. Great good. Great joy. I get it. It's a way to stay in touch. It's a way to say thank you. However, we can hide with texting, can't we? We can confront people, which we should be confronting face-to-face, with a text message because we're not afraid to look at them face-to-face and share the hard truths. This is, again, why they're evil, right? Because Matthew 18 would say, if you have a problem with your brother or sister in the Lord, you go face-to-face. You don't send a text message passive-aggressively and say, you need to fix this problem. You deal with it head-on in the true presence, right, of the person. And you talk to them, and you be honest, and you share truth. You see, this is why email, you can hide behind email. Tone is misunderstood, often through texting and email. We try to send, we say something hard and we send a little emoji image because we want to buffer it. It becomes so impersonal. We lose touch and we lose community. Now, I'm not saying that emojis are intrinsically evil either. However, have you seen some of these emojis? Have you seen some of these things that are sent? We're trying to send a message in an impure way, in an unkind way. Just an uncharitable way. It needs to be done through prayer. We need to pray more for one another, not send them a passive-aggressive text, but pray before we send and fire off messaging. Write a letter, as Abraham Lincoln would do, and just hold on to it. As he wanted to fire off his letter to his generals during the Civil War to say, I think you have lost us an opportunity that would have won the war, and he's just angry and bitter. He wrote it and he held on to it. And they were later found after his death. That he used the practice of writing and putting his emotions on paper, not in a text message, not in an email, but he put his emotions on paper and he expressed them so that he could be charitable. This is important. As we close our time in the last 3 minutes, I want to qualify a statement I made 2 weeks ago. Brother in the Lord, Ben out over in Switzerland, listens to the program pretty regularly, and he told me that I said that that King Louis the 14th was the king that purchased the crown of thorns. I was wrong. It was actually King Louis the 9th. So thank you, Ben. I want to just clarify that in case anyone in the listening audience is totally thinking it was King Louis, the Sun King, which is logical, right? But King Louis the 9th of France purchased the Crown of Thorns. So thank you, Ben, for clarifying that, sharpening me. Thank goodness that the relic, the Crown of Thorns, was spared through the recent fire at the Cathedral of Notre Dame. I assume it was on display on Good Friday, but this happened before Good Friday. So I'm not sure what they did this year. As I was sharing in the last program, that on every Good Friday, they bring out the relic of the crown of thorns. So I don't know what happened this year. Maybe it was on display somewhere else, because I know the cathedral was not available for Mass. Maybe they did some sort of side thing. I don't know there, but side chapel. But nonetheless, yeah, I just want to clarify that. So thank you, Ben, for sharpening me and sending me that text that I was wrong there. So we're always open to being corrected. That's called fraternal correction and charity. And that's what it's so great about even technology, is that we can begin to broach some of these important things in a charitable, loving way. But when you're hiding behind cell phones, you're hiding behind Facebook messaging or instant messaging or texting or, you know, it can become very toxic. So ask yourself the question. Be honest this weekend as we approach Divine Mercy Sunday. Ask the Lord for mercy. Sure, venerate the images of our Lord through St. Faustina's private revelation. Do that. Receive Holy Communion. Go to confession. Receive those graces, those plenary indulgences that come. However, ask the Lord for mercy and be honest with yourself. Is your cell phone, has it become a source of toxicity in your life? For me, it has. I'm confessed. I'm on the record. I'm off anything intentional, Saturday and Sunday cell phone. It's only reactive usage. I'm going to hold myself to that. I have to grow. So as we close our time, please pray for me. I'll pray for you. Pray for self-mastery. Pray for virtue. God bless you.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.